Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When the Bible tells a story, it always rings true to human experience. We see this in the story of the prodigal son who went his own way. In yet another remarkable parable of Jesus, we can learn some major truth about how to be better parents. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series from the parables he's calling You Can't Redo Life. Today we turn to Luke chapter 15 for a lesson on getting parenting right.
Rejoice, my son is coming home again. Jesus was a master storyteller. He loved to tell these parables because they always had a story that took place here on earth, and it represented a much bigger story as to what was happening in heaven. They were examples of spiritual truth. And what a storyteller he was. Today I have the privilege of speaking on one of his most familiar stories, his familiar parable. In principle, it's a story that has happened 1,000 times. A young man is brought up in a good home with a good dad. But with a love of pleasure coursing through his veins, he decides to leave home and he goes to his father and requests his inheritance. As a matter of fact, he in effect said to his dad, "I can't wait until you die. I wish you were dead, but I can't wait until you die. So give me the inheritance that belongs to me, and I want it right now." If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to read part of the story to you. I know you know it, but we need to hear it once again before we understand its meaning. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, "There was a man who had 2 sons, said Jesus, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country and there squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." I'll read the rest later. "When that young man got his inheritance, according to the laws of the Old Testament, he would have received 1/3 of what was coming to him. And his elder brother, whom we shall meet in a few moments, who was a complainer, he would have received 2/3 of the inheritance. The young boy takes all of his money, and he begins on the far country, and wordless, the father watches him go down the road. Because the father knows what the far country is like. The father understands that in the far country you will always eventually find a famine. And so the father lets the boy go, because there does come a time when parents have to let their children make their own decisions when they're old enough. And so it is that the boy goes, and the scripture says that he squandered his living on riotous living. He squandered his money on riotous living. I love the King James Version at this point, which translates it, he wasted his substance on riotous living. That's a good translation. Because you see, he was really wasting, wasn't he? And today we use the same expression. We say of somebody, he got wasted. I remember Rebecca and me attending a funeral of a teenager who overdosed on drugs, and I thought, what a waste. What a waste it was. So the boy goes from one job to another, and finally he goes to someone who keeps pigs. Now, you need to understand, in those days, pigs especially were considered to be unclean animals, not just simply physically unclean, which they are, but ceremonially unclean. And here he is in contact with pigs, and he's willing to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs are eating. Whatever religious scruples he was brought up with, those didn't apply now, because this boy was hungry and he needed a living and he needed to eat. And then we come to that amazing phrase, don't you love it? When he came to himself, when he came to his senses, he began to think of his father. And you know, it is true that sin has a certain amount of insanity connected with it. And when we begin to understand where it is leading us, then we begin to say, you know what? I think it's time for me to return home to God and to my people. So this boy there in the pigsty, he prepares a speech, and he wants to give it in just a moment, and we'll have an opportunity to when he gets home. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. He understood that his sin was first and foremost against God. He said, I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Now we pick up the theme from the standpoint of the father. And because we honor fathers today, I want us to see how this father reacted, and then we will draw from it some lessons for us as fathers today. Back home on the farm, the father could never forget his son. Because even though the boy left the father's home, the boy could not leave the father's heart. And the father was waiting for his boy. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, the text that I just read says that when the boy was afar off, the father ran to meet him. How could the father possibly see this child afar off unless he was looking for him? But there he was, patiently waiting for his son. He didn't know when the son would come home. He didn't know if his son would come home. All that he knew is that his longing and his desire was for this boy. Those of you who are fathers and mothers, you will agree with me that a parent is only as happy as his saddest child. And when you have a child in the far country and you know what that far country is like, you begin to think about them. And oh, how you wish that they'd come home. The father was waiting. Never forget that in the parable that Jesus told, the father basically is God. That's the point of the story. There are some of you to whom I'm speaking today, and you think to yourself, you know, I've wandered so far away from God. I've crossed so many different boundaries. I can't come back to him today because God probably is so mad at me, he doesn't even want to see me. Well, I have some good news for you today, my dear friend, as I look into your eyes, some very good news. The reluctance is not on the part of the father. The father's arms are outstretched. The father is waiting, and there is more grace in the father's heart than there is sin in your past. The father waits for you. And then secondly, notice that the father is willing to be shamed for his son. We don't understand this in today's culture, because what we're talking about here is something that a father might do today and we might think nothing of it. But you must understand the Middle East shame culture. Shame was used to keep people in line, and it was always accompanied by being ostracized if you didn't stay in line. If you disgraced your family, as far as the family was concerned, they had a funeral for you. You had disgraced them, they cut you off. Sometimes when the parents died, their wayward child was not listed in the obituary. As far as they were concerned, this was the end of that boy. And this disgrace was huge. People in the village talked about the man who had two sons, the good boy who stayed home, and then the bad boy who ran off and ran into the far country. And so the Bible says that this man, however, broke all convention. You never had the patriarch of a family run because of excitement. Maybe he would run if there was a fire, but he would never run because of the fact that he was so excited to meet someone. But here's a man who was willing to not only meet his son, but run to meet him, robes flowing and all. Forget the dignity. My boy is coming home. You have to understand why the father ran to get the son and was willing to forego any kind of cultural pressure in terms of the shame factor. You must understand that the reason is because he loved his boy, but also because he wanted to get to him before the people in the village did, and especially before the elder brother got to him. And so the father runs to see his child and is willing to forget the protocol, and he goes and runs. The Pharisees to whom Jesus told this parable, because he was speaking to them and their self-righteousness, as we'll see in a moment, they were standing there saying, "How can a man do that?" And this father is saying, "I'm willing to put my arms around him even with the smell of pigs on his clothes. Just let me hold my boy in my arms." And so the father is not only waiting for the son, but the father also is willing to be shamed for the son. And then the father forgives the son. This is an amazing story.
Well, this is Pastor Luther, and most assuredly, this is an amazing story. I hope you tune in next time as we continue this message on the prodigal son. And the reason is because this parable is often misinterpreted. We love to focus on the bad boy who left home and the wonderful welcome that his father received. But as we shall discover, the real issue that Jesus wanted to get across, the real point, had to do with the legalistic elder brother who stayed home. My friend, today, God is generous. No matter how far you are in the far country, he'll welcome you back. But he'll also welcome you who perhaps is working hard in the Father's work, but does not share the Father's heart. Well, more of that next time.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Getting Parenting Right, the fourth in a series from the parables on You Can't Redo Life. Perhaps no parable of Jesus has drawn as many tears as that of the prodigal son. Next time, the story continues. All 10 parts of You Can't Redo Life can be yours on CD, sent as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.